is there anything I can answer that's on your mind right now?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Could you talk, when you said, you know what your pain is, you have a pain.
Yeah.
Is, what is to be done about that, just to be aware of it?
That's a very good question. I appreciate you asking that question, because that's really a good one.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
The question is, can I meet you in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That shouldn't even be a question.
Tell him what the question is.
So, what I ask is, he mentioned the pain that you have, and that you know what that pain is, or maybe you don't. So my question is, what's to be done about that pain? Is the only thing to do about it to be aware of it?
I think the first thing that I do with mine is I admit it. There are things about Gregory Edward that I do not understand. There are things that he does, I watch him, just like his father. I'm clumsy like my father was. When I was younger, I was more athletic than he was. But diabetes 2 thing is, it can consume you if you're not careful. And I think if I were, I'll tell you what mine is. I don't want to live his life. And I'm living his body out right now. I have to eat a handful of nuts and stuff to keep my blood sugar even so I can teach. So that, the bottom line is that I have an inferior body. That would be one of my big ones. Not because I want to have, you know, a super body, but I want to be able to teach. And I also know, and the secret to that secret is that I'm going to die, and I think that there is a very big part of him that says, you've got work to finish before you leave. And that's a big thing for me. That's a really big thing. And of course, the one that I've told everybody about is I'm not a lovable person. I'm just not. That's just the way it is. That's a trait of Ed. So those are mine. So what do I do with them? I keep them here rather than here or behind me. I understand. I need to see them for the way they are. My cousin called me. I've been having a premonition, and I don't know what it is. It's a premonition that something's going to happen, and I don't know if it's going to happen or not. So I called my cousin, and Jack, he was in Vietnam. He has all these things that you get in the jungle,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I thought, no, I wonder if it's him, because I had a dream about him. That's how I found out I had a prep. And I called my cousin. Long story short, he's fine. But my cousin said, you know, when you were a little boy, you scared me. I knew you had some kind of, what she would call a gift, and I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to know what was going to happen to me. And I think that's true with a lot of people. They don't want to know what's going to happen. I think that's the biggest secret people have. And I think you think it's going to be bad. You have to live loved. Because you are. It's the antidote to everything. But if you don't feel that love, then it's just another slogan that you will forget. You have to live loved. You are loved. You have to know that. That's the antidote. But that's a hard thing to do. Yes, darling. Wait a minute, did I answer your question?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes, what answered it, what I got is, you keep it right in front of you.
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't make excuses for it. It doesn't make your life fun.
Doesn't make your life what?
Fun.
Oh.
Okay.
What allows a person to feel that love?
Well, I can only speak for me.
Recognize, yeah.
I can only, me. I don't know about you. I don't know about any of you. All I know is what happened to me. When I became realized, that's when that slogan happened. Instead of living impulsively through my genetics and my impulses, to realize there is something greater than me that is where I actually live from. We all live there, we just forget it. We let this take it away, this body. You live in this love all the time. You could have had a V8. Do you understand what I mean, sweetheart?
I think I do.
I think you understand this.
I do. What came to mind is that when you were saying that, just driving down the highway, how close you are to another car, how it's you're close to death right there.
Boy, you're hitting the nail on the head.
And that's what came to me when you were speaking.
I have had that same thing. That same thing has come across me many times. If you ever drive into, what is it over here?
Del Monte?
No.
Carmel's by the sea.
No. That, you know, what's the name of?
Del Monte.
No, not Del Monte. Said no three times. No. What's the little city over there that all the
cars? Oh, Pacific Grove.
Yeah, if you ever driven Pacific Grove, you're that far. Their streets are too small.
Yeah.
And the cars are too big. It's kind of like when I met you. Well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But too small. And when you're driving, you're going, and when people do the dumbest things, you know, you can't open up your car door if you're parked on the street and have a car drive by you. You can't do it.
So true.
Now, are they going to rip up the street, rip up the no.
No.
But you see, that's what it would take, right? That's what it would take in you. You'd have to rip up a lot of things. What's your favorite belief? What's your all-time favorite one? All-time favorite belief.
I know better.
I know better?
I'm always right.
I'm always right? That's the same thing.
Yeah.
You're a piece of shit? You're not a piece of shit.
My favorite belief.
Your parents are.
My favorite belief is that I'm destined always to be poor. That's my favorite.
That's your favorite belief.
That's my favorite. Destined to be poor.
How about it'll never get any better than this?
Same thing.
Whatever we're doing, it's never going to get any better.
I'm not good enough?
Yeah, I'm not good enough. Those are the things that keep your street small.
Could you talk a little bit about when you became realized?
When?
You said that well ago, when I became realized. And yeah.
You want dates and times and all that?
I just want to know.
Because I have the dates and times.
I want to know how.
Put it on TikTok.
I want to know your experience.
How did it feel?
Was it slow over time? Was it like Saul of Tarsus? Boom?
It was boom.
It was boom. But you had been doing preparatory work. The field was ripe for planting. You had done all
I was in India when it happened.
Did somebody say something to you or touch you or bless you?
No.
No, I'm just
kidding. No, you're asking all the right questions. You're asking all the right questions. I remember it vividly. I was doing something inconsequential. I mean, it was something mundane. And I was, how do I explain this to you? I'll just tell you. So I lived in this shitty place in India because I had no money. And this shitty place had scorpions in it and snakes. So when you woke up in the morning, you didn't put your feet on the floor. Okay? You just didn't do that. And you know who my roommate was? Anybody know?
Kataro.
But I didn't know who he was. And he wasn't Kataro then. He was the Ikigumi Mami Muga. Kataro was the name given to him by Bhagwan. So, anyway, I'll tell you how it happened. I went to breakfast, sat with the boys. We don't talk a lot when we're together. We don't need to. And for whatever reason, I got up after breakfast and went to my shitty little room, and I was making the bed in a room. It was filthy, there were snakes, blah, blah, blah. And the contrast between making my bed and the room I was in broke me. And I'll tell you why. I wasn't looking for an excuse or an answer. This is where I was. I wasn't feeling sorry for myself because I had no money. I wasn't feeling bad because I was in India and I was in a room with snakes and scorpions and shit like that that would occur. It didn't matter. And while I was making my bed, which is totally illogical, it was. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. You'd think, what the fuck? There could be a snake in there. Who would? You know? But I went in and I started making the bed. And I think what happened was the oddity of it, the, what would you call it? Yeah, it was
incongruous.
It was incongruent. And all of a sudden, everything flowed into that moment. And I remember sitting there crying and laughing both ways. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter if the snake got me. It didn't matter if it wasn't there or was there. It didn't matter. And then I realized.
That you were love, our love.
That we all are.
That all is.
I'm there. This, what really hit me was this was the only way I was going to get it. I had to be in that room, in that environment, in that day, in India to do it. That was just my destiny. It was an irony. And I love irony. And that's when I became ironistic.
Iron Man.
And then from then on, there was only V8 in the fridge.
From then on, I could see Ed here, Gene here, little Greg here. I could see that none of it mattered. Like he would have liked to have thought that none of it mattered. How she treated me, how my cousin treated me, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. What mattered was I was loved. I am. You are love no matter what you do. You'll never escape the love that you are. And if you want to know why your life is so fucked up and miserable, why you'd have to give me $29.95. I'm gonna put y'all down $29, right?
In a check format.
Okay, check. The reason you're fucked up is because you refuse to see it.
Just looking at the rocks.
You have to realize it. You have to, I have this thing going on in me now. It's a totally new thing. Oh God, it's just driving me nuts, but I love it. And I want to change my whole environment now. Everything. I want something more congruent to my realization. And what I've been doing is I've been kind of doing what I could rather than what I should. So things are going to change. And I'm watching how it's going to change. And I see what I want to do. And I see where it's all happening. And it's just, that's just the way it's going to work. You never end your journey. You never get to a place where you go, oh, I can rest. So you're the only one that's ever asked me about my realization. From there on, I started to develop qualities that a teacher has to have, and I didn't know what it was. See, most teachers just are only as good as they can think. You're only as good as you can think. So the teacher knows what you think, and he adopts or she adopts to that. I don't do any of that, if you've noticed. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It could happen to you at any moment. It's sudden realization. So the way, you know, the old Zen story is true. Two men are walking in a forest, and it's dark and it's storming, okay? And they're lost in the forest. Lightning strikes, okay? The one man who's a literalist looks at the lightning. The one man that is awake sees the path. You look at the lightning, I look at the path.
And the path is love.
The path is love. The lightning is just a distraction. But the lightning served a purpose of lighting the path for me.
Right.
So being in India, lit the path. I am the lightning for your path. But you're looking at the lightning, not the path. That's why you don't make any headway. Now, this is the bitch about it, okay? No one can tell you, look at the path. Because you're always in danger. You're always in fear of danger. But you don't understand what your danger is. Your danger is not bodily. Your danger is that you'll see the path. You don't want to see the path.
Mm-hmm. Because our danger would be we don't see the path.
You don't look.
You don't look.
It's there. No one's saying to you, you can't see the path. It's not there. You don't want to see the path.
All I want to do is protect my body.
That's right. Logic and reasoning. People like Mr. Shaw, who loved logic and reasoning.
That's why I look at the lightning, because I want to protect my body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or I'm fascinated.
Yeah.
I do with Carl Sagan. Oh, God, see how that happened. No. See the path. It lit up for you, and it may just be just a second.
Just a
millisecond.
Just a flash.
That's all you need. It's a millisecond. And boom, it's there. And you go, my God. It is a little man with the levers. There is no great and powerful Oz.
That's why you always say, don't look at you, look at where you're pointing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What were you gonna say, sweetheart?
When, so you were in a room where you were staying when you...
A dump.
When you went back to be with Bhagwan, what was there, an exchange of any?
He knew. He knew. It was unspoken. A little adjunct, and then I'll go back to that. When this happened, I was supposed to change my robe. The rats had eaten the robe.
Oh.
I had no robe. I went to the closet, they just ripped it apart. So I told the, when the boy said, I thought you were gonna, and I said, they eat them in, and they said, we have some for you. And then that's when they said, you need to come live with us. They even knew. I wasn't fit to live with them.
Until that moment.
And they'll tell you that if they were here, they would tell you the story. So I went to Bhagwan for an evening darshan. He knew. The deepest conversation I ever had with him was silence. My solitude had become apparent to him. I didn't know, but I came. I was just like, you know, if you cut my head off right now, it'd be just fine. So the first thing he did is giggle. And then he gave me sannyas for the second time. And that's how I got Siraj, which is about a teacher, because he knew. And that was it. And then, you know, he would hassle me about staying in India and teaching, which I wouldn't do. God, no, Jesus Christ. No way. I'm a Jew, and Jews don't do heat.
You're a white boy.
Huh?
You're a white boy.
I am such a white boy. I'm fine with that. So it people who, like a real artist would know with me, they'd know. A person who wasn't really an artist or had not accomplished anything would not know. I'm trying to get Pat to do some things that would awaken him. And the way I'm doing it is he sits at home watching surf movies, feeling sorry for himself because he's old and can't do it. But I'm sending him these beautiful videos about Japanese art, about wood art, mm-hmm. about making these beautiful things that he is fully capable of. Now he's got a heart on. Little boxes of things that really appeals to me, it appeals to him. He understands. And hopefully that's going to change who he is. He could find the realization there. He could. It could be a cut, a turn in the wood. Some incidental thing. Remember the story of the monk that left, you know, his master, and he was living down the street and he was sweeping the garden and a rock hit the wall? That's what happened. It works that way. You work on yourself and work on yourself until the bottom falls out. Now, when I was younger, it was easier. I can't imagine what it's like for you. You've got so much crap. You live in a house of shit. And you don't understand why people come around and go, it smells in here. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. No? You do?
Yeah.
None of you? You don't get it? This was a very good question. Now, whether you think it or not, you traveled thousands of lifetimes to ask that question. See, that could be the pebble that hits the wall that awakens you. Oh, know who was the pebble for you? Who was the man that came to you?
I know.
He was the pebble.
That's what I thought of when you said that, but I didn't say it.
Well, why?
I don't know. I was
because you're a goddamn hillbilly. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was
yes.
thinking about it. It ain't gonna be in a room with snakes and scorpions.
It doesn't have to be. It does, but that was my
that's
thing.
What he needed. Yeah.
You gotta understand.
I do get that.
I was raised like a white boy.
Yeah.
So you have to understand, that's just the way it was for him.
That's amazing.
But when it happened, I mean, the ludicrousness of making a bed in a room like this, mm-hmm. why would you even bother? Do you understand?
I'm thinking now about the interaction with him.
With who?
The guy.
What guy?
Professor
oh.
Chandra Joshi.
They don't know the story?
No, but I mean, I'm just thinking, it's amazing.
Tell them the story. They don't know the story.
Yeah, they
no, they don't.
Okay. All right.
Don't
I'm
argue with me.
I'm living in Houston. I'm responsible for the religious house. In Houston, we have an apartment building, 8 apartments. That's what we live in. And the phone is on the wall downstairs, and it's late on a Sunday night, and it's ringing. And I answer it. And it was Los Angeles calling to remind us that our distinguished guest was arriving at the airport at midnight. And I was awake, and I got in a car, and I drove to Bush International Airport and met our little Indian man who had been over here teaching. His name was Chandra Joshi. And I picked him up, and he came with me, and we went back to the house, and there had been artwork put on the wall where we have breakfast, our collegium room. And he was absolutely fascinated by it. It was a picture of the other world, 4 pictures of the other world, the Mountain of Care, the River of Consciousness, he was fascinated. I said, well, the woman who did that lives here, and we'll go see her. Okay, well, he had been in Los Angeles, and he had been eating food that he wasn't used to, etc., and he had a terrible experience with gout, and really, really painful. Got him in a bedroom, in upstairs, and he took inside him a lot of pain that we were having, etc., and passed this all through his body. He couldn't get out of bed. He was really hurting. And so he peed and peed and peed. Jars, big, you know, carafes. And I would dump it and take him food until he got to where we could go to meet the person who'd done this art. And he is a famous person in
India.
In India, I didn't know that, but he made these contacts here. He did get well enough to travel, and that relationship that formed went on to build schools and all this other stuff.
Wow.
From the lady, and I had just done my little part, you know, my little part, which is host him and try to take care of him. And I knew he was special. I knew he was a special man, but I didn't know.
How special?
No, not at all. And I don't, he went on from, and later, there he is. On Greg's video, Greg is interviewing him.
In India.
And,
the call.
Yeah, and in the call. And I, that's Chandra.
It's not an accident.
Yeah, it was wild. Very wild.
He was a cool guy.
Yeah. He was. He was a very cool guy.
That was a great episode.
And he liked me and I liked him. But he knew. That's how we got him. I had to meet him first.
Oh.
He knew. It's unspoken. People who have gone through this know each other. And I'm sure he had realized too, to a certain degree at least.
Did you meet him before or after she did?
After.
After.
Well, I didn't know what the sequence, the filming and everything.
No, she was watching Aspire
years
later.
Oh,
yeah, and she saw him and
I
was interviewing him.
Oh, I didn't know that's how you knew that story.
Is that on the call?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the call.
Yeah.
His grandson now, they have a family museum, and his grandson, it's a creativity center for people to come and do creativity. And it's kind of a family museum and a creativity center. A friend of mine has been to see it. It says it's absolutely a fantastic thing. He died in 1985, I think.
Hmm.
No. Well, anyway.
Somewhere
in there. I brought the thing.
I don't remember when we did the call. I don't remember. Okay.
But it binds me to Greg in a way.
It does.
Oh, no.
It does. You are with me for reasons you don't understand. Because they exist over here while you exist over there. But every so often you'll go like that, just a slight turn. And then this will come rushing at you. The problem is it scares you. But, you know. We should do our meditation. Okay? And I want to pass these out while we're doing that. And then we'll talk about our meditations together. Wendy, you did a great job.
Oh, I printed them too. I didn't know you were printing them out.
We're going to need to make more of these, you know, for down there.
I brought them to you. Those are the ones that were supposed to go down there, and these are the ones for today. So we'll switch it back around.
Right. Okay, let's look a little bit about this. We'll do one of the meditations. Monday, goddamn.
One, two, three.
Son of a bitch.
We've never done that one.
We've never done that
That's
one before.
That's a new one.
Okay, enough said. Okay. And I know you don't do it. Tuesday, heart posture. We'll do that. The Gap, Gary Puckett, Union Gap. Wednesday, and then you do heart posture, heartbreak. You remember the one we did? Okay, Jen. All right, and then Gap and Vipassana on Sunday. And I want you to do a cathartic meditation every week, if not every day. I know you won't do it, but there you are. So, this is to get you ready for July. I've never been more antsy than about anything with you as I am about July. I did this to such a degree, you know how I have an intro to your meditations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you can skip it and go to the on this, I put them together. I want you to listen to that intro every time you do it.
Okay.
Every time. Okay. So, number one, what is my deepest daily concern? Okay, number two, what lives me? Now, you understand what I mean by lives you?
Mm-hmm.
The thing that your impulse, and also your secret. Whatever that is, that lives you as well. Number three, am I lost? Yes. Why? because I'm stupid and selfish and evil. And the weekly summary, the meaning of my living is. Do you have any questions about any of this? None? Okay, here we go.